Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after. Thank you very much for staying with us today. If you've been listening already, you know what we think about you. We think you're a very smart person, highly intelligent individual, very discerning. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. That's what you got to look forward to. We're gonna consider you very smart the more you listen. It's 34 after, I think I said that, and I'm glad you're back. Matthew Cartwright, I'm glad Matthew's back too. He's an attorney with Munley and Cartwright, the law firm out of the great state of Pennsylvania. And he's, as I said earlier, he's one of the resident attorneys in the Brain Trust. Matthew, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Sam. Great to be back. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you back. The last couple of times we've visited, Matt, you've talked to us about some elements of contracts that you thought were helpful, would be helpful for us to know more about. And, for example, last time you were with us, you talked about the confession of judgment clause, and we talked about other contractual elements that that would help us to understand how, when we see a contract, you know, once you get good at reading contracts, you don't have to be an attorney to know what the key elements are and to sort of understand, to be used to reading the kinds of language that each one of those are in. And so if the more you know about it, you still may want an attorney to look at your contract that someone gives you, but at least you won't be so intimidated by them.
Well, there's no question. If you think about it, you do business with so many different groups of people as a small business person. Making deals is what you do for a living. You're making deals with your vendors and your suppliers. You're making deals with your customers. You're making deals with the people that work for you.
Right.
You may be making deals with your competitors.
Right.
Legal deals, I mean.
Absolutely. No, that's right. That's exactly right. And those are all things. Some of them have contracts. Some of them don't. The most intimidating, I'd have to say, Matthew, are the ones the notes that we signed at the bank, any kind of a bank transaction. I mean, those guys. I mean, you know, for all you know, you're giving up your firstborn, and who's going to read all that in the back of those notes? But everything is stacked against you and for them, isn't it?
Yeah. We've talked a little bit before about banking contracts, and gosh, that's probably the one where you need the lawyer the very most of all, because you do have so much to lose when you're setting up your lines of credit. And
the only problem, Matt, is the only thing we need more than the attorney is the loan. So by the time the banker says, "Okay, I'll loan you the money," we're ready to sign.
That's true, but that banker needs you too, Jim.
Well, that's true.
That every commercial loan officer has a portfolio of business, and he or she has a boss to report to, and they want to know how well they're doing selling loans.
Right.
So, but gosh, one thing we haven't talked about so far in the list of types of clauses and types of contracts. What do you do with covenants not to compete? The typical situation is, you're a small business person, maybe you only have a staff of three or four people, and one of them is the real go-to person, the person that knows how everything works. I mean, if you had to take a vacation, you would feel comfortable leaving that person in charge. That person has relationships with all of your customers, knows how to talk to your vendors, mm-hmm. knows the whole operation. Well, one day
it may be your only link, your only direct link to one of your most important customers.
Exactly. One day this fellow or gal decides, I'm worth more than just being an employee of Jim Blasingame, and I'm gonna pick up and go across the street and open up shop, and maybe you're selling widgets retail, and all of a sudden your best employee, who knows all of your secrets, who knows all of your customers and all of your vendors, goes across the street, opens up shop, and sells widgets. And starts competing with you. Holy smokes, are you
happens,
in trouble?
Happens all the time in America.
It sure does. So what do you do about it? And that's a covenant not to compete. And you, what you want to do is, early on in the employment relationship, and it's not limited to employees, by the way. It can also be independent contractors.
Right.
You can have exclusivity agreements, and you can have covenants not to compete with them as well.
Hold on to that thought, Matthew. We're going to come back, folks. This is something that I have used myself, and it has been it's been effective for me. I have actually had to test one of these, and there. But there are some. It's very handy, but there are some parameters you got to use that make it make them viable. And Matthew's going to help us with that right after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And we're having a great visit with our good friend Matthew Cartwright, one of the resident attorneys in our brain trust. He's an attorney with Munley, Munley & Cartwright out of the great state of Pennsylvania. And Matt, give us that website, please.
Oh, sure. It's www.munley.com.
And it's not your grandfather's lawyer's website, by the way, folks. So you check that out when you get a chance. And Matthew,
my grandfather didn't have the internet at all, much less a website.
and Matthew, I want to tell the audience about something that happened to you this summer. You were inducted into a pretty high level position with your industry organization. Tell us about that.
Well, thank you, Jim. Sure, the American Association for Justice has the business litigation section, which we call the business torts section, and I became the incoming chairman of that.
A national position, volunteer position in that organization, and congratulations on that, folks. Matthew, and folks, as you know, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience, and so if you think we don't know how to pick brain trust members, you know, at least you should by now. Matthew, we're talking about covenants not to compete. That's one of the things that we're talking about. I actually had an employee sign a covenant. I have had this happen more than once. I've signed them, and I've had employees sign them, covenants not to compete, and I. I had an employee that violated that, went out surreptitiously and opened his own business and started competing against me. And I took him to court and I won.
Well, yeah, and that's the right result. And that's because you planned correctly and you were aggressive when you needed to be.
What I tell people is don't do something like this if you're not prepared to back it up with action. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time.
Right.
Don't bluff. You know, do it.
Covenants not to compete can save your business because one of the biggest threats. I always tell people, well, you know, they want to know what's the biggest threat to my business. Is it a lawsuit where somebody brains himself on my front sidewalk and sues me for all I've got? No, there are two biggest threats to your business. Number one, your spouse. If you're not nice to your spouse is going to divorce you and take every half of what you have. So be nice to your spouse is litigation rule number one. Number two, get a covenant not to compete in your employment agreements, because if you don't, your number one employee is your next biggest threat. And
Elements, though, Matt, in that agreement, in that covenant not to compete, there's some elements that are very critical, aren't they?
There are. And let me tell you how it works. What you're not allowed to do is prohibit an employee from ever competing with you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Ever
and anywhere being the two operative words.
Exactly, and it's time and geography we're talking about, because the overarching principle in America is everybody's got to have a fair shot to go out and make a living.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the biggest principles behind our capitalistic system and behind our legal system. That's one of the underpinnings of bankruptcy law, giving people a fresh start when it didn't work out the first time. But with covenants not to compete, they look for geography and time as not being overly restrictive. Time, typically, you don't want to restrict an employee from competing for more than a couple of years, basically.
Right. If you put 5 years in there, the judge is going to throw it out.
Right. Or the judge will reform it down to a couple of years.
Right.
And geography, if you put anywhere in North America, the judge is going to throw that out.
Unless it's on that scale, isn't it? I mean, unless if you're a national company, you got a big national company, you can prevent them from doing some things for a period of time in your geography, can't you?
You sure can.
If the U.S. is your geography, that's the parameter. It doesn't have to be the east end of the county, does it?
Well, that's exactly right, and maybe I'm making an incorrect assumption when I assume that the people that listen to the Small Business Advocate don't have national businesses.
Well, the thing is, though, no, you are making a good assumption, but what I guess my point was that it doesn't have to be, it could be national.
Sure.
But mainly, it's wherever the scope of your business currently is, isn't it?
I think if it's maybe Microsoft versus another worldwide company,
right?
One entire country might not be unreasonable if there's an agreement not to compete in a particular area. But typically, an employee of a small business, you don't want to go beyond probably a 100-mile radius,
right?
And you
actually could say that, couldn't you?
You could write that in the agreement.
100-mile radius.
The employee covenants not to compete for a period of 2 years within a 100-mile radius.
More specifically, Adams, Jefferson, and Washington counties or something like that.
Absolutely.
If you want to say that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, I want to caution you. There are types of small business that involve professional services. And those professional services may have ethical rules that prohibit any kind of covenants not to compete, lawyers being one. We're not allowed to have that. Physicians can do it, but there are other you have to watch out for the ethical rules involved in professional.
And that's actually cannot be a good thing because it doesn't apply to you guys. That's what's happened to a lot of law firms over the years. Another thing that you can put in there, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong here, is you can put in customer lists. You can identify customers. And when we come back after these messages, I'm going to let you answer that question. The customer element, folks, you can be a little more, I think you can be a little more specific, but we're going to get Matthew to explain that to us right after these messages. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Matthew Cartwright, the resident attorney of our Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Matthew Cartwright, resident attorney of the Brain Trust and a partner with Munley and Cartwright, an outstanding law firm in the great state of Pennsylvania. And you practice actually in other states too, don't you? New York?
We do. I'm admitted in New York, and we get admitted specially in pretty much any state up and down the East Coast, depending on the case that we get into.
Right. And that's Munley.com, by the way, the website. Matt, we're still talking about covenants not to compete with our employees. And I asked you the question before we went to the break about including customer lists, literally saying that you can't call on our customers for a period of, you know, X years, X months, whatever.
Oh, absolutely. You can do that. What I said before goes. Here's how it works. The only restriction is geography and time. Well, if you couple time, as you just did, with the customer list restriction, that's fine. You can't compete with ABC. You can't do business with ABC company for a period of 2 years following leaving employment with our company. That's fine. That'll hold up in court in almost every state. And, you know, the subject of customer lists is interesting, too, and it doesn't really have to do with covenants not to compete. But in a lot of states, customer lists can be treated as trade secrets.
Absolutely.
So that,
it is a trade secret.
Pardon me?
As far as I'm concerned, it is a trade secret.
Sure. So
it's your it's your intellectual property.
One of the first cases I got involved in as a lawyer back in the mid-'80s was I was working for a 300-person Philadelphia law firm, and I think it was the second day I started work there. I had to go down to federal court, and we stopped a truck that left Philadelphia. It was on its way to California, and it was full of customer lists and other sensitive information. We went to court. We got an injunction in the federal court on Market Street in Philadelphia, stopped this truck when it was in St. Louis. but
and that was before GPS. That was before GPS, too, right?
That's right. So that's and of course those are big companies involved, but the same principle applies to the small business person. Your trade secrets are your lifeblood, your customer lists, your way of doing business. So, you know, and it's really, it's just a small paragraph. I bet the one that you enforced, Jim,
it was one page.
A dozen lines, right?
It was one page, and it wasn't a full page.
Right.
Because,
right.
See, the reason that I was successful with it was because of my experience having signed those for my employers over the years.
That's right.
I saw what they did.
Right.
And I hate to say this, but I didn't have an attorney do it. I did it myself. And it worked because it had those two fundamental points. It was a reasonable, and you talked about time and geography. You've got to put reasonable in front of that, don't you?
Right. But typically, if you do, if you work it along the lines we mentioned, a couple of years and maybe a few counties or a 100-mile radius, something like that, that will almost always hold up in court.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. The second piece of that is you've got to back it up. And for that, you probably want a lawyer. I imagine you did have a lawyer when you went to court over.
Oh, yeah. No, I had an attorney to defend it. But you know, this was a small company. This wasn't earth-shattering stuff. It was important to me, but it wasn't like the deal between Microsoft and Yahoo or something like that. So it was able to be simple. But the main point that I think we need to point out here is that small business owners, and this is something I've been talking to them about for a long time, Matthew, we have things that need to be protected. We have customer lists. We have our assets, our intellectual property. You know, you wouldn't let an employee have an opportunity to steal your inventory. So why would you let them steal your trade secrets and your customer list? Why would you allow them to do that? So protect it with an agreement.
Another thing that's among your assets you may have mentioned is your name, the company name
exactly.
That you trade under. The Lanham Act protects you from having an employee or anybody else open up shop under, I mean, if you're, you know, if you're Corby's Fine Wines, okay?
Right.
It prevents a competitor from opening up as Corba's Fine Wines
right.
down the block. Because
right.
It's clearly designed to confuse the customers and to divert business from you to them.
Matthew, when you come back next time, can we talk about contracts in plain English?
You bet.
I'd like to do that next time, if you don't mind. I've got that on my mind right now. Let's do that next time. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
Matthew Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. This program is for you, and I'll be right back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.